Then he said, the gates of hell will not prevail, meaning they will not win. And third, we need to understand that there is an enemy assault always coming against the body of Christ, called the gates of hell. Now, the reason Jesus used the terminology gates is because in the Eastern world, centuries ago, communities, cities were built with walls around them, and every walled city had gates. And at the gates of the city sat the elders of the city who conferred and made decisions regarding the course of life in the city at the gates, including whether or not sometimes they would go to war. So many decisions were done at the gates of a city. So Jesus, using this illustration, is saying there are gates of hell where they're making decisions, where they are attempting to spew out evil against the church, to divide it, to destroy it, to dismantle it, to cause it to be despondent, disillusioned, depressed, to steal from it, to dumb it down, to prevent it from being everything that God wants. Do you understand that? And Jesus said, those gates, those decisions of the enemy will not succeed. So we have his assurance that we will succeed in working with Christ to build his church. Period. We have, therefore, based upon this scripture, two things that should be our focus. Number one, that we work and participate with Jesus Christ to see his church built, his body. All of you! Not just me. Every last one of us must participate with the Lord in building each other up. It's not an option. Look at me. We cannot afford not to. We don't have options. Either we fall into the slough of despondency and slug it out in depression and living in this, you know what I'm saying? This is not the best it's supposed to be. Are you happy with it?
No.
We're not going to stay here. Some people say it's a great church. Yeah, it's a great church. I mean, if we use our own measuring stick, but it's not as great as God wants it. And that's the key. We can be as great as God wants it to be if we will let God work in us, yielding completely to him, being totally obedient, and stop just being coming and being spectators, an audience. I'm not doing a performance. I'm not entertaining. And you're not just measuring the whole meeting based upon how well you like it. We're here to hear God clearly, absolutely, follow his way and see his will done. Every meeting. I could not attend a meeting on a church where I came every week and had just a Bible study. As good as Bible studies are, there's a spirit of life that needs to be set free within us. Last Sunday, I came here to the house church. Of course, when I go to any house church, we circulate to various house churches. I don't come with an agenda. I come to listen to God and behave, do what he wants me to do. I don't come to lead the meeting because that takes away from everybody else. I don't want to do that. So I just came. And we were all there. There was 10 or 12 of us. I can't remember how many. And Sheila moderates the meeting. She's the leader. So here's what happened last Sunday. Hallelujah. Sheila started out with reading Psalm 62. And Psalm 62 seemed to just set a course for us there. And after she read that, we began to pray. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And then the praying moved into singing. Some songs that we know, we started to sing. And the next thing you know, this singing, this was spontaneous. We didn't have any overheads. There wasn't even a guitar player. It was a cappella. We were just singing, okay? After we sang in English, then you know what we did? We sang in tongues. And it was just, it just rose to this crescendo. And then after singing in tongues, you don't need an interpretation. It is a harmonious orchestration of the Spirit of God being the one who is receiving our joyous singing to Him. After singing in tongues, guess what happened? We had spontaneous songs of the Lord. These are unwritten songs. They have never been recorded before. And the author is the Holy Spirit. And we just sang the things that the Spirit was telling us to sing. Do you remember that? Songs of the Lord just popped out. Then there were testimonies of how God had been moving in the lives of people. And we rejoiced and we encouraged each other and we did some minimal praying for each other at that time. And then Dottie was excited because early that morning before she came to the meeting, God gave her a spiritual dream. So she wanted to share it with us. And if you permit me, Dottie, I'll try to just summarize it a little bit for you. If you want to, you know, bring some feedback or whatever. Okay, so in the dream, she saw herself here in the sanctuary, up here on the platform, with some tables, and she was setting these tables and preparing them, like for a banquet, a meal, correct?
I was trying.
You were, yeah. And then she noticed around her were people who were not from this body originally, but now were here. And she wondered for a minute what they were doing here. So then she shared this dream with us, and the Holy Spirit said, well, it's very simple. I want you people to begin to prepare your hearts for those who are going to come in and begin to serve them like they were coming to a banquet. Because these are the people I'm going to be sending you. Get ready. I won't send them till you're ready. Start preparing. Set a table for them. Metaphorically, you understand that? That you wish to serve them. You got it, saints? We'll be taking our eyes off ourselves a little bit there. So with the interpretation, there was an agreement by everybody in the meeting, and we prayed about that. We said, Lord, bring it on. Show us that. We'll pray it. Then we had a discussion regarding gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, because prophecy is the most prominent of all the gifts of the Spirit to function within the congregation because it affects everybody in the congregation. And the primary purpose is wake him up. And the primary purposes of prophecy are to edify, exhort, and comfort. We can judge all prophecy by on the basis of building us up, strengthening us, cheering us up, and comforting us when we're going through hard times. That's what God will do with prophecy for all of us. So we need prophecy. We haven't had a whole lot of prophecy for a long time. It's not foretelling. Like, I'm going to tell you all the events of the future. No, no. The prophets of the past did the majority of that. This is forthtelling. Not foretelling, forthtelling. Out of the heart of God, what he sees and how he wants to minister to us. Isn't that great? God present. That's, see, when God is present and allowed to be, and you are sensitive to him, and he wants to encourage us, he wants to bless us, comfort us, build us up. It's wonderful. So we talked a great deal about that. And then we prayed for the fellowship of life. We interceded for all of us here. Then we began to pray for those whom the Lord is going to be sending to us based upon the early morning dream that Donnie had. Then we took communion. And after communion, we had some good food to eat, or fellowship. That's the kind of thing God wants to continue to do with us, even here now. Did I leave out anything, gals? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot. I looked
direction. All right. Yeah, there were 8-foot tables, banquet tables, 8-foot,
new beginning.
And Lara, one of the women that came in.
Resurrected.
Her name means resurrection. Isn't that something? Praise God. It was great. And you know what we knew? We knew that God was in complete control because there wasn't a thing planned. Not one thing planned. Nothing. And isn't that the way it should be all the time when we come together? Not that we don't have teaching. There was teaching. I was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. So we do have to have teachings. But if we do not allow for the Holy Spirit to minister to us, we're going to dry up. We're going to dry up. Life without the Spirit is dry, I can tell you that. I've been on the other side of the fence. It's dry. Life is dry without the Holy Ghost. He's the water of life in us. He's a refreshment himself. He's a fountain of living water. He comes up through the innermost parts of our being. He gushes through. He lives through us. He pours himself in us and out of us. Our meetings from this day on should be called Life in the Spirit meetings. Where, as I had asked you 2 weeks ago, pray before you come. Pray for the congregation. Pray for any individual that comes to your mind, that God puts on your heart. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Listen and be obedient to him so that when we come here, he can do whatever he wants through you. We need this. Let me say something more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are not fun things to do because we're charismatics. They are given to us to build us up until the whole church becomes perfected. We won't need the gifts of the Spirit once we become perfected, because when that which is perfect comes, there will be doing away of all these gifts, and only love will remain. But before that time, we need them. This morning I was reading over old prophecies that had been given to me by some prophets who had been here from time to time. And the words in those prophecies were life. They're still alive. They're meaningful. They recorded God's heart to me. And they're still alive and working in my life and in Andre's life. We need these things so desperately. We have no idea how much we need them. That's why Paul said, you have to seek the best gifts. Somebody would like to say, well, what is the best gift? The best gifts are the ones that are needed at the time. And God will show you what they are. And there is no competition with the fruit of the Spirit. I heard this argument years ago. I thought it was stupid. It's still stupid. I would rather have the fruit of the Spirit than the gifts of the Spirit. Who told you you could make a choice? We need both. One is not in favor of the other. But man, do we need the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit when we come together. Hallelujah. Anybody had a nudging in your heart that you had a prophetic word to give this morning? Anybody? Are you tenderly raising your finger?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure. I was feeling
it. Oh, I prayed.
Yeah.
Sorry to steal your thunder, honey. Yes, we are. God love you. I really do. Patty, I tell you what, people should be more like Ben and Pat. They're seeking God all the time, just want everything that God has. Yeah. All right, let me move on to something else. Are you good with this? Do you get the point? Somebody needs to give me a word of knowledge. I have questions. I'm not getting them out of the scripture. God has not spoken to me directly, but he will use one of you. Do you hear my point? Do you hear my point? Some of you have been claiming scriptures for healing, and you're hanging on to those words, but you're not healed. But somebody's got a gift of healing that can heal you. You got some? Life in the Spirit?
No, that's okay. One of the things is when we come together, whether it be here or at the Life in the Spirit, I've been taught since I walked through these doors that you bring an offering. And your offering is what your gifting is. It's what you come to the meeting, not so much for yourself, though you may have a need, but because you see the need in someone else as you're taking care of them.
Amen.
God takes care of
them. Amen. That's so true.
And when your mind, your eyes are off of you,
right.
God is glorified. Nobody's lifted up but you.
Amen. Amen.
So every time we walk through these doors, I mean, we all have our special seats and stuff, you know. God, that's what Pastor's talking about. We got to get out of that and be open to, if you walk through the doors and God says, go over there today. Or go over there today, or go up there today.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh my God, stay home for today.
Oh, don't.
Can you say that?
Oh, don't. We got enough of that. We have an abundance of that. Yeah. You know, I've heard saints tell me that. Yeah, the Lord told me to stay home. He did? Why on earth would he do that? You need to be here.
Because it says, forsake not the assembly of saints. Why would he say that?
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I'm sure you know there's always exceptions. But we're talking about the influence of our flesh that mimics the Holy Spirit and tells us what we want to hear instead of what God wants us to hear. We can't afford that. Okay, got something else for you. Wednesday night at the men's prayer meeting, which is really a good prayer meeting. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to come back to Gates. Hold on, okay? I'm going to come back to Gates. We're going to end the teaching with Gates this morning. Our responsibility is both to the body of Christ and to extend the kingdom of God into the world. We cannot do one over the other. We must do both. If you look at this nation right now, how many of you got TVs? Or some form of information, this nation is in deep trouble beyond anything I've ever known in my 83 years of life. And the reason for it is because we have dropped the ball. The nation is a reflection of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. It has always been that way. It will always be that way. Either the world influences us or we influence it. That's it. And right now, the influence of the world is this. Be passive. Don't get involved. You got other things to do. Take care of yourself. You got your own problems. Build your own little church. Blah, 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 blah. And the consequence is that the hordes are at our door. The hordes of hell are at our door. It ain't going away. The problems that exist in this nation will creep right into the church before long. The demonstrations of hatred against the Jews is just the beginning. Nobody should think for a minute that they will stop there. There are so many issues that are going on right now. Our children aren't even being taught the basic things in school. They're being taught new things, things that they should not be taught, in fact. I don't need to tell you all this. So, some people think, well, we'll just try to get more people in the government and we'll try to legislate. No. I don't care how many laws you enact. As you can see right now, nobody gives a damn about the laws. Does anybody care about the laws? No, they break every law possible. Laws are meaningless anymore. Righteousness is out the window. People do exactly as they want. We've become a lawless society. The only thing that's going to affect this nation is a change in the heart. And the extraordinary influence and presence of the body of Christ. The light on the hill. We must regain the presence of God in us. And we must express the presence of God to the world. So back to Wednesday night. We were talking and praying about some of these things, and the Lord led us to Romans chapter 10. And there's just a few verses here. Powerful. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel, the good news of peace, and bring glad tidings of good news. So these people that we see out demonstrating, these people who are creating problems, these people in government, these people in education, these people in the media, these people in schools, people here, there, and everywhere, do you know a lot of them don't know Jesus? They don't know who he is. They might be to him a historical figure for which they can thank for having Christmas or Easter, but they don't know him. They have no real deep understanding. They don't know that he's God, that he was in the beginning involved in creating this world. They don't know that God was in him when he went to the cross. They don't know that his work was to reconcile them to the Father. That is the key of salvation, reconciliation to the Father. Not just being freed from your sins and staying out of hell, but being reconciled to the Father and delivered into the body of Christ and freed from the kingdom of darkness. They don't know any of those things. How are they going to know those things? They're only going to know those things if there's enough preachers. Let's not think just in terms of evangelists. I thank God for men like Mario Murillo, who is doing a marvelous job of presenting the gospel to the lost. But we need more Mario Murillos. We need all of us to become little Mario Murillos who share the gospel everywhere we can. Not by intrusion, but by presence, our presence, and waiting upon the Holy Spirit for those openings that he gives where we can interject the life of Christ. It's not about, oh, you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and that way you'll stay out of hell. The key is to present Jesus. Yes. Jesus is the core of the gospel. How can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? Romans 10. Do you follow, please? It's Jesus that we believe in. And we must present him by testimony of our lives, what he means, who he is in us, because these people have not heard. This world is bankrupt. This nation is bankrupt of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It needs to be exercised again. Now, I'm not putting a heavy burden on you, because everything is done by grace. Grace is God's enabling power to do something. Not your power. I don't want you to go hand-wringing outside now like, who am I going to find to talk to? No, no, no. God's grace will work in you, bring you to the right people, even give you the right words at the right time. But you must be willing. You must be willing. You must be willing. That's all. You must be willing. You must. There never has been a revival without two things, praying and preaching. Now you say, I don't know about revivals. I've never really been in one. Revivals are the tidal waves of God. They are these overpowering presence that God brings to the body of Christ and then that flushes out into society. All history owes its advance to God's moves. And many of them have been through revivals of the church. This nation was birthed in revivals. There are two great revivals here in New England that changed the course. This nation's government, its laws, its education, everything owes it to the gospel. Without the gospel, without Christianity's influence, this nation would not be what it is. I'm going to save some more comments about that for another time. But right now, the United States of America, I will say this, is the bulwark of Western society. We have done more to influence Western society than any other nation on the face of the earth. And Christianity, had it not existed, would never have created the society of the West that we know today. Civilization of Europe, North and South America, and Australia would not be the same. This whole world would be left to barbarians. Well, you say, well, yeah, look at us. We're just a little bitty group of people. Every little seed counts. And if you have enough of them doing what God wants them to do, wow. Wow. So, then we also prayed Matthew 9:38, which says, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers because the harvest is ripe. Who are the laborers? It's everybody who will declare the gospel to everybody else. That's you, 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 me. We are the laborers of the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Meaning, God, motivate us, send us, empower us, direct us, guide us. Yield ourselves to him. Last thing this morning, Psalm 24. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Let's pray this morning. See, this old psalm, speaking about the gates, the heads that be lifted up, we are our heads become the gates that open up the doors for the King of glory to come into us. Us. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Let the King of glory start to come back into your life. The one strong and mighty, the Lord of hosts. And not only that, lift up your heads, O ye gates of the nations, and let the King of glory come back into this nation and to the nations of the world. Let us pray that this morning. Father God, we lift up this morning our heads as gates, openings for Christ, the King of glory, to come in and have more of his way than ever before. And Lord, we pray that the gates of this nation will be opened up to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Oh Lord, let he be glorified. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Amen. It's not just another meeting. I heard the word advance. God is saying, this is the beginning of the advance of your life. To advance beyond the minimal, limited area that you have been living in. That the Lord himself is going to begin to do a work in you that will change you beyond anything you had known. Because you're going to yield and let him do his work in you. And your heads are going to be lifted up for the King of glory to come in. More and more and more and more. By the presence of Holy Spirit in you, till the expansion of the King of glory seems to be all there is in you. You will not go back to where you were. You are being lifted up today. Lifted up today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. All right, saints, bless you. Have a wonderful day and a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.